ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. Welcome to today's morning Bhagavatam class. We are studying Canto 4, Chapter 11, entitled Swayambhuva Manu Advises Dhruva Maharaj. Continuing with the instructions of Swayambhuva Manu, and we are on text number 26. Kindly repeat. Esha Bhutani Bhutatma भूतेशो भूतभावनः स्वशक्त्या मायया युक्तः सृजत्यति च पाति च एष भूतानि भूतात्मा भूतेशो भूतभावनः स्वशक्त्या मायया युक्तः सृजत्यति च पाति च एष भूतानि भूतात्मा भूतेशो भूतभावनः स्वशक्त्या मायया युक्तः सृजत्यति च पाति च एष भूतानि भूतात्मा भूतेशो भूतभावनः स्वशक्त्या मायया युक्तः सृजत्यति च पाति च एष भूतानि भूतात्मा भूतेशो भूतभावनः स्वशक्त्या मायया युक्तः सृजत्यति च पाति च एष भूतानि भूतात्मा भूतेशो भूतभावनः स्वशक्त्या मायया युक्तः सृजत्यति च पाति च मतजी वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग एषः दिस Bhutani, all created beings, Bhuta Atma, the super soul of all living entities, Bhuta Ishaha, the controller of everyone, Bhuta Bhavanaha, the maintainer of everyone, Swa Shaktya, through his energy, Mayaya, the external energy, Yuktaha, through such agency, Srijati creates, Atti annihilates, Cha and Pati maintains, Cha and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone. Through the agency of his external energy, he creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. Purport. There are two kinds of energies in the matter of creation. The Lord creates this material world through his external material energy, whereas the spiritual world is a manifestation of his internal energy. He is always associated with the internal energy, but he is always aloof from the material energy. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Lord says, Matsthani sarvabhutani na chaham teshu avasthitaha. All living entities are living on me or my energy, but I am not everywhere. He is personally always situated in the spiritual world. In the material world also, wherever the Supreme Lord is personally present, it is to be understood as being the spiritual world. For example, the Lord is worshipped in the temple by pure devotees. The temple is therefore to be understood as being the spiritual world.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarurbhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we are discussing a very nice series of verses. So many speakers perhaps would have elaborated. I'm jumping the bandwagon suddenly. So I was not around, so I haven't followed up. But I'm sure many devotees would have touched upon this topic. So what has been happening? In the previous chapter, we saw how the fight between Dhruva Maharaj and the Yakshas took place. And now Swayambhu Manu himself has entered the scene to pacify, to mediate, to bring some sanity, to restore some peace in the entire situation. So, these series of verses, just imagine you are in a situation where there are two conflicting parties, right? And there is an issue at hand. And you have been called upon to as a mediator, right? And what will you say? Right? Perhaps you may want to understand the story on both sides. Maybe you may want to say something to first pacify them, to appease them, right? At least to cool them down, say some pleasing words, right? But guess what Swayambhu Manu is doing? If he's invited as a mediator. So this is the Bhagavat style of mediation. The Bhagavat style of mediation is by giving a Bhagavatam class. Right? Right? Because this is the Bhava Ushadi. Right? Because this is the medicine for all the material problems. So Swayambhu Manu here is giving Bhagavatam class. And apparently he is not addressing the core issue here. Right? The core issue is some injustice took place. Dhrumara's brother Uttama was killed unnecessarily, right? And Dhrumaraj is now attacking the Yakshas, and he is overcompensating by killing hundreds and thousands of Yakshas simultaneously, right? So Swayambhumanu is trying to stop this violence and is not talking anything about it. He's talking about how the Lord is the creator, maintainer. In this particular verse, we're seeing that how the Lord, he is the super soul. He is the Bhutatma. He is a super soul. He is a Bhuta Isha. He is a controller. And he is also the Bhuta Bhavana. He is the maintainer of everyone. Right? So that is the theme that he has chosen to speak today. Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. And you may be wondering, why this connection? What has this got anything to do with the issue at hand? Right? So one of the very fascinating topics in the scriptures, right, along with all the different leelas, unlimited leelas of the Lord, is actually the whole pastime of creation. Right? Prabhupada calls this as Mahavishnu's Rasleela. Right? And this is a very important pastime, because Krishna, as the creator, as the ultimate creator, is showing us how to deal with material energy. Because one of the important lessons for all the jivas living in the material world is, it is inevitable that we have to deal with material energy. We cannot shy away, we cannot hide, we cannot live in a bubble, we cannot live in a cocoon forever. We have to learn to deal with material energy. And how does Krishna actually do that? Because the issue at hand here is, Dhrumaraj wants a cause for his problem. If you see the entire series of verses, Swayambhu Manu, very beautifully, if you actually see the theme, subtle theme that, you know, Swayambhu Manu is trying to present here is, that how Krishna, he is the ultimate doer, and yet he has nothing to do. Right? Because in one of my previous classes also, I touched upon this topic. The nature of the conditioned mind is that when it is going through suffering, it wants a clear cause for its suffering. Because that is the way, because the nature of ahankar is, it tries to use all its faculties in its service, and it wants to use its power of rationality, its intelligence, to analyze the problem and identify, this is the cause of my problem. Now when Dhrumaraj used his false ego and used his intelligence driven by false ego, he identified the problem, the source of his suffering, as the Yakshas. And therefore, to overcome my suffering, I need to eliminate the source of my problem. And therefore, I overcome my suffering by eliminating the Yakshas. But Swayambhu Manu is changing the whole equation here. He is presenting that no, the Yakshas are just the mere immediate cause. The cause of all causes is Krishna. He is the one who is a maintainer, creator, and ultimate destroyer of everything. And yet, the Lord remains aloof from all of this. Right? So this understanding how Krishna creates actually is not a very philosophical concept, but actually is a very soothing concept for the jiva who is suffering in the material world. Because otherwise what happens is, we end up identifying people, situations, or sometimes physical objects as a cause of our misery, and get so overwhelmed by it that we get consumed by them. That becomes the only object of our, right, of our meditation. But look how beautifully Swayambhu Manu is presenting here, that even while thinking about the source of your problem, you can elevate yourself. This is the ultimate Bhagavat meditation. You are crying, you want to know why you are crying, and by knowing the source of your crying, you will become advanced, you will become elevated, you will transcend your suffering. Right? So, because understanding this theme is also very important. Because the stem of atheism also is in this theme only. If you look in the modern world, all the atheists have come about from places which are traditionally strongly religious. Right? Without taking any names, but all the biggest atheists in India or in Vedic tradition or in Abrahamic traditions, these are all the people who grew up in countries or in societies which have very strong religious fervor. And because religion could not answer, because according to their religious systems, God is the cause of everything. And so, God is also cause of my suffering. Right? If you look at the evolution of modern science, one of the biggest philosophies that promotes indirectly the atheism is Darwinism. And how did Darwinism start? Because Charles Darwin's daughter died prematurely, and in that tradition, premature death is considered very sinful. So he wanted to find, how did my dear daughter, who never committed any sin, how did she die so prematurely, right? So then he came to the conclusion that no, there has to be something beyond all this which I've been hearing. Then that led to that kind of an atheistic mind. And Krishna says, ye dhamam prapadyante, right? So Krishna personally reveals himself in his atheistic form. Right? That is the theme that you will see in 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That how different ways in which you can understand Krishna. Even atheism is one of the ways in which Krishna is understood. Because ultimately Krishna is a universal set, right? Nothing is beyond Krishna. So even atheism is also within Krishna. So Krishna reveals himself as he doesn't exist. That's what Prabhupada writes in Prabhas Kshetra. Right? When Krishna leaves a material body behind, Krishna says, Krishna is giving an argument for the atheists to believe their atheism also. Even that nishta also Krishna gives. Right? That is how amazing Krishna is. Right? So yeah, so that led to with that thinking, he started analyzing the world, and therefore he found a godless source of everything. Right? So understanding this therefore is very important. So in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in purport of one of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, Prabhupada very nicely clarifies this concept based on Mahaprabhu's teachings. Because universal eternal dilemma, who is a cause of my suffering? Whom should I blame? Of course, a very, very advanced devotee, you know, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, he is in that stage. He doesn't experience any misery. Right? But for conditioned souls, we do experience misery, and we have to attribute a cause for our suffering. Right? So, there Prabhupada writes, quoting the Achintya Bheda Bhed Tattva, he says that, yes, how Krishna is simultaneously the doer and non-doer. So Krishna has his material form and he has his spiritual form. So what is Krishna's material form? So Krishna has two material forms, right? So Krishna has one personal unmanifested material form, and Krishna has one impersonal unmanifested material form. So Krishna's personal unmanifested material form is the universe, the universal form. Then Krishna also has an impersonal unmanifested material form, which is the time factor. Right? And using the time factor, so the time, Vidhata, the Daiva, the Adrishta, all the other systems of philosophy, what they refer to as the absolute truth is this Kala. That time, using that medium of time, right? Me Kalhu. B.R. Chopra's opening scene in all Mahabharata episodes, right? the time which Krishna reveals in the universal form in the 11th chapter of Gita, that is the cause of all our suffering. So if you like to give galis to someone, give it to time. Right? Yeah. Which is everywhere, which is constant. Every moment it is killing us. Right? Minute by minute, second by second. It is killing us. However, Prabhupada in the same purport he mentions, while time is a cause of our suffering, Krishna's personal manifested form, these are all unmanifested forms, but Krishna's personal manifested form as a Sachidananda Rupa, that is the source of our solace. So when a devotee goes to Krishna, when he looks at the altar, he is not seeing the Kala Rupa. He says time, you know, what is that? Sarvam Kala Kritam Manye. So great Mahajans like Bhishmadev also have, you know, resonated this particular theme. When he is saying that who is the cause of your suffering, he didn't say, oh, Shakuni's dice game or, Dhritarashtra's blind greed or Duryodhan's arrogance. No, none of this is the cause of your suffering. Sarvam Kala Kritam Manye. It just happens by the inconceivable time. Even though such great stalwarts are there among all of you Pandavas, right? But the cause of your suffering is not any of these factors. It's all just a time factor. Yet, Lord Hari, Lord Narayan is there with you right now. He is your solace. Right? Because if you look at Krishna as a cause of your suffering, right? If your source of your suffering and the source of your solace are one and the same, then you'll become an atheist. If the source of your suffering and the source of your solace are the same person, then you'll be the most miserable person on this existence. Right? And that is what happens in all the places where people feel apparently misjudged, injustice, abused, right? All those scenarios, because the person who's supposed to protect me, that's what Dhruva Maharaj also experienced, right? His father was supposed to be the source of his solace when his mother pushed him away. But when he didn't speak, and instead by his not speaking, he encouraged the source of his suffering, his stepmom, he felt completely lost and bewildered. Right? That is the greatest tragedy in life. If your solace and suffering are coming from the same place. And that is what happens to people. In great extreme calamities, we cannot see these two things as separate. But what the Bhagavatam is presenting, what Swayambhu Manu is presenting, especially in these series of verses, is that the Yakshas are not the cause of your suffering. Right? Kubera is not the cause of your suffering. Lord Shiva, who is empowering the Kubera and all the Yakshas. Because finally, Yakshas, their Ishtadev is Shiva. He is not the cause of your suffering. Because if you identify people, things and situations as the cause of your suffering, your hate list will just increase unlimitedly. And that is what happens to an envious person. Right? An envious person, they never stop, okay, with you. Once they throw all your envy at you, then, oh, you are connected to him, then you are also in my hate list. Oh, you all are connected together? Yes, you all will become part of my hate list. Slowly the list will keep expanding. You can never check envy. That's why Prabhupada says, envy is that one propensity which you can never dovetail. So Kalia was never killed. He had to be purified. Right, so that is you cannot keep just pointing faults. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj had to be given a major reset in his thought process. Stop blaming people, situations, and objects as cause of your suffering. The ultimate doer is Krishna, and yet that same Krishna, he is. You know, he uses such sweet words here. He is Bhutatma. He is a super soul of every living entity. Right? He is the Bhuta Isha. He is controlling everyone. So understand that even the yakshas are being controlled by the same Ishvara. You are being controlled by the same Ishvara. Everything that happened in your life is happened by the same Ishvara. But most important, he's Bhuta Bhavana. He understands your feelings. You are such a great devotee. The later on verses is going to say that. You are such a great devotee. You got direct blessings from the Lord. Right? Don't you think Krishna doesn't understand your feelings? Don't you think this injustice happened without Krishna's sanction? Why are you getting so obsessed with the whole situation? Right? So when you are so intimately connected with Krishna, then you will no more see any injustice happening to you. That is a platform to which potentially this verse can elevate us. To a situation where one no more perceives any injustice happening in this world. Right? So recently I was in Vrindavan, last few days. Right? We were discussing the pastimes of all the different deities and we went to Jaipur and Govindji and you know, the famous story of Vishnu Chakra Thakur we were discussing, right? When the Ramanandis, when they came, and then they attacked our sampradaya. They questioned the authenticity of Radha Krishna worship, and then we know what happened. Radha and Krishna were separated, and all the devotees in Vrindavan, they got to know, their heart was aching with anguish. But how could our Ishtadevs be separated? Then all of them, they go to Vishnu Chakra Thakur, who was the chief acharya of Gaudi Vaishnavism that time. And he was at a stage where he was beyond all of the worldliness. He was in that bhajan mood. And when he got to know, his response was only one thing. He didn't see any problems. He only said, oh, no, no, don't worry. Radha and Krishna are having man lila. So therefore, Radharani wanted to go away from Krishna. Therefore, she went away. That's it. That was, he didn't see any problems. Right? That was the stage at which he was acting. Right? So, and the seed for that stage, we cannot prematurely, right? We love doing that also. Ah, Krishna's desire, right? But we cannot prematurely jump to that stage. But this verse is actually the seed that can potentially bring us to that stage. Understanding that actually Krishna, he is the ultimate doer. He is very much involved in the thick of action, right? And yet, so Prabhupada quotes 9.4 here. Matsthani sarva bhutani. And then next verse he says, Nacha matsthani bhutani. Pashyame yoga maishwaram. So this theme in the Bhagavad Gita, we repeatedly see this. One of the most important verses Prabhupada said in Bhagavad Gita is guess. So this is a tricky question. Because different times Prabhupada answered different things. Right? So no matter what you answer, I always have another answer. Right? But the one I'm thinking about is 4.9. Janma karma cha medivyam. Right? So what do you think the karma that Krishna is talking about there? Does Krishna have any official designated duty? Huh? Yeah, Krishna is always playing. He is always engaged in leela. Right? So, janma leela cha e divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. That could have been the right verse then. Right? So, why is Krishna talking about specifically about karma there? As if he is doing something. Of course, he is not doing anything. But yet, he is doing something. What is the specific karma? Is there some official designated duty of Krishna? Creation. Right, when Krishna wears his office suit and takes his office bag and goes to work, he becomes the Purusha, the three Purushas, right? So that is Krishna's duty. So why Krishna is talking about that there is, in the first six chapters, he's trying to tell Krishna, teach Arjuna, the whole concept of disengaged duty, disengaged work. How you can work, but yet be disentangled. When in the second chapter, when Krishna explains this concept, which he uses Buddhi Yoga, he says, this is how you should work in a disengaged way. Arjuna could not understand this theme. So then Krishna, he splits. Oh, you know, actually for this disengaged work, you need two concepts. You need disciplined work and knowledge. So the disciplined work, karma yoga, the concept of yajna, he teaches in the third chapter. But the knowledge he talks about in the fourth chapter, that is this. Right, the knowledge of karma, vikarma and akarma, specifically the knowledge of this akarma. Because Krishna himself is doing that. So janma karma cha me divyam. So janma part he spoke in the first part of the fourth chapter. How he is, you know, beyond he, sambhavami atma maya, I come by my own energies. He talks about that. But specifically his karma part, how he acts in that mood of akarma. Right? When he descends in the material world, he is only engaging in leelas. But he also engages in akarma. He is dealing with material energy, yet without getting his hands dirty. That is a creation part. So the entire theme of creation that you will see, right? Krishna is, though the ultimate cause, he uses various instruments in his creation. He does not get entangled in the creation. He is doing things and yet not doing things. Understanding this is the way for the jiva to get disentangled. Because the Vedic narrative, it presents basically three primary instructions. If you boil down all the Vedic instructions into just, it will just come to three stages of practice. At the first stage, at the lowest stage, is the instruction on detachment. At the highest stage is the instructions on devotion. But to transit from detachment to devotion, there is a very important middle stage. That is dispassion. To move from detachment to devotion, so if you see many of our spiritual narratives also, we heavily speak on the detachment part. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Right? Many times in our presentation of Krishna consciousness also, like this one time, one devotee was asked, this is like post-Prabhupada, somewhere in the late 70s, early 80s, one press reporter in Europe asked one devotee, so what is Krishna consciousness? Right? And that devotee answered, no, we don't eat this, we don't do that, we don't do that. He gave a whole list of don'ts. And then the reporter was like, so, it made Krishna consciousness sound so prohibitive and boring. Right? But it's not just the don'ts. Our process is not that of the detachment. It's actually how are we positively engaging. Right? Because the power of do's is more than the power of don'ts. That's the whole point of bhakti. Right? Many times we engage bhakti like as if we are jnanis. Right? With that hard vairagya, hard detachment. So it's not the don'ts, it's the do's which actually purify us. The don'ts, while the don'ts protect our sattvicness, the do's, they promote our spiritualness, the Krishna consciousness, right? So the do's are actually more potent than the don'ts, right? So the do's is the stage of dispassion, right? And that is a very important transitory step. So how Krishna does that is the theme that we see in this particular, in this series of verses that that Swayambhu Manu is presenting, and that is a theme that we will see in throughout this. So I actually, because Prabhuji requested me to speak today, I thought because I have the mic I can speak. So I thought, let me share some amazing experiences I had in the last few days, because for the first time I was traveling with a very different kind of audience, and so it has been a very fascinating experience. We actually went to Vrindavan and Jaipur. We had planned a small trip with some of our students who had come to GEV, right? And personally for me, my faith in GEV and the devotees here has increased by thousands of times because of the kind of experience that you all managed to create. It is such a potent place that it's such a, indeed it's a heart transforming place that people, you not even believe how different kind of people come here and then they go transformed. We don't even know who comes and who goes here and how they go back, right? But it's, you know, I thought of sharing this because I am so inspired, and I'm sure as residents here, sometimes we don't look at this side of our, this is also our home. Home has many problems, right? So we get so absorbed in the problems that we don't see that what amazing place. So we recently conducted this course on the Gita and Yoga Sutras, and we had a very nice bunch of audience who already did 1 month course here, and they went back from here doing this course. And during the course of our discussion of Gita, repeatedly the mood of Vrindavan, and especially when ninth chapter came, we had a very serious discussion on bhakti and what the Braj Bhav is, right? And so spontaneously they got a desire that we should all go to Vrindavan. Then we planned, okay, then we planned a visit with like 7-8 of us, and few more joined us from there. Already they were there, and we went to Vrindavan, and the entire trip has been nothing short of a miracle, because I had planned nothing for them. I just said let's keep it completely spontaneous, let Vrindavan Dham. And before leaving, actually somehow Krishna's arrangement, I got to meet His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and I told him that this is how we are going. And I said that many of them were very inspired by your book, Maharaj, and after reading your book, especially the taste for Vrindavan has increased even more. And they are all praying that many of them are going with unanswered questions in their head. So please bless them that Vrindavan Dham reveals the answers to them. And Maharaj made only one statement. He said, no, Vrindavan is always speaking. It's a matter they hear or not. Right? And I never expected that answer from Maharaj. Like, oh, wow. So let me see what Vrindavan Dham will speak. Right? And I told them also, see, this is what we got blessings from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So let's go. Right? Now, in that group, we had like random people, and one particular Mataji who had come, she didn't do any of her courses. She came here for some other work. Our Anand Raghav Prabhu took very nice care of her and inspired her, gave her a lot of books and Mahaprasad, and showed the place very nicely, and she got some interest, and she came into one of our classes and immediately said, I am signing up for this course. When is this course happening next? So she's again coming back in February for doing big course, right? And this particular lady, she wanted to spend only 1 day in her schedule. She had only 1 day in her schedule. She's like a very big corporate trainer, and they have a big sanstha where they do life coaching and all that. She had only 1 day. She had basically come here to India to do a Vipassana course. And she was scheduled to stay only 1 day with us in Vrindavan and then go back to, Jaipur, somewhere she was doing that course. Yeah, Jaipur, yeah, that's what she, yeah. So then, yeah, fine, we were traveling together, and we were spending, even the train also, we were talking about Vrindavan and stories, and as soon as she landed there, guess what happened? The entire Vipassana program got cancelled. Right? And she ended up staying with us for entire Vrindavan stay, joined us for Jaipur, and after that, right now she's in Mayapur. Right? So, right, and then, so we landed in Vrindavan, and we were not sure, again, like I said, what's the itinerary, what's the schedule, everything was, so, just a second, I actually wrote down some very nice, interesting things that happened with us. So I wanted to share those things. Yeah. One of the amazing things. Oh, this is a thing that again, Prabhu's, Mataji's, or everybody who's sitting here, all the GV residents. Repeatedly, we have to. I keep saying this. Our Yamuna Arati is the biggest heart changer. Believe it or not, people get addicted to Yamuna Arati. Maybe for many of us, it's the Mangal Arati or maybe Darshan Arati, because that's like our main component, our daily dose is that. But the Yamuna Arati that we do here, people get hooked on to it to the point where even after leaving GV, the thing that keeps lingering in their mind is Yamuna Ashtakam. to the point they wanted to sing Yamunarti every day. It was like our Mangalarti prayers, how Mangalarti is so important for us, the Sansarada for us. They want Yamunarti every day. So no matter where we go, wherever we are, 6:30 time, they said, Prabhu, stop your lecture. We have to sing Yamunarti now. Like, okay. Right? So, and on the first day, we were fortunate. We actually went on a boat ride on Yamuna and we sang Yamunarti there. That was very special. Huh. Then something amazing happened. We wanted to offer lamps to Yamunaji, but then, you know, they had those styrofoam cups. So we said, forget it. So we boarded the boat and we sat there. The boat almost started moving. Suddenly, one lady started, not our group, some Brajwasi, she started screaming, saying, stop the boat, stop the boat. And she started arguing with the boatman, saying, I want to sit on this boat. I said, why? And they said, no, they already booked the boat for themselves. They paid for it. And then the lady looked at me and said, can I also come in the boat? I'm like, okay, I mean, you have to be polite, Brajwasi, you don't know what will happen. So I said, yeah, please come. And she sat with us in the boat. And we were singing Yamunarti, so she also joined us. She also started singing. And after Yamunashtakam, we started Hare Krishna Mantra. And what I would do is, I would give each of the students to also lead, you know, like they lead and then we all follow, like everyone would lead. So as I gave them the chance, so this lady, I don't know, she didn't notice or what happened. She was sitting on the end of the boat. They were on this side. I was in the middle. So she started leading on everyone's behalf. So there the student was singing and this lady was also singing loudly, full blast, full volume. And then we were being polite. I thought maybe she didn't hear the first time. Then I said, then second time, third time, we were like around 10 of us. At a certain point, we gave up. Said, oh, Bhav, you only lead. She was leading, we were following. She was leading, we were following. And fine, it was going on. Then suddenly, you know what happened? She removed her bag. And you know what was in her bag? She brought patal lamps and exactly as many number as we were there. So we were 10 of us in the boat. She brought exactly 10 lamps and gave us the lamp saying, you offer now. Right? And it didn't stop here. We got down, she went her way, we went our way. And then from there, evening we were walking after Yamunashtha, we said, let's go to Banke Bihari temple. Right? And then as we were walking, somebody wanted to use a washroom. And you know, that such narrow street, there no bathroom, nothing there. So we asked some local chaiwala there, is any washroom here? Said, go to Maheshwari. Said, what is Maheshwari? And I didn't know. We asked, what is Maheshwari? We searched. So finally, some corner, you know, that near the Ashtasakhi Mandir, on the right side, there is this one little guest house there. It's called Maheshwari. So on the ground floor, they had some washroom. We took them all inside. And as they were inside, guess who comes there? That same lady, Jai, Shishi Radhavindan Bhiri Bhagavan ki Jai, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki Jai. So that same lady comes again and says, hey, you are all living here? She said, no, we just came to use the washroom. Come, now you are here, you are in my house. So she was actually the caretaker of that building, right? She made us all sit there and it was so cold, she offered a little bonfire, so we were all warming ourselves. And then she said, I want to offer milk for all of you. But she didn't have milk in her house. So, no, then she said, okay, come, let's go. Then she took us to some local, that food stall. She offered milk and dhoklas and whatever foodstuffs were there. And people were so amazed, you know, because these people never saw that simplicity of Brajwasi. They were amazed. At one point, they were suspicious. Is she going to ask some money? You know, is she going to extract something out of us? Nothing. She was giving and giving and giving. And it didn't stop there. She did a WhatsApp call to her sister in Germany. And then, look, my friends are here. And she's a surgeon, her sister. And she was going into the operation theater. She stopped her saying, stop. You have to talk to my friends. And that sister, she was all dressed in the surgeon gown and everything. You know, she had her surgical gloves and everything and the mask on her face. And I don't know what, maybe she loved her sister a lot. She actually stopped and she spoke to all of us. At a certain point, she was like, apologetic, saying, I have to go, the surgery, the patient is inside, I have to go. Like, yeah, please go. Right? And seeing the entire exchange, their heart changed. They said, wow, this is Vrindavan. And she didn't ask any money, right? To the point where the only thing she asked is, can I take a photograph with all of you? And you know, they just love the whole. And you know, I was secretly praying that may they get such kind of an experience. And you know, and they said this was the, that was one of the highlights of the yatra for them, that interaction with that unknown stranger, right? Yeah, and then yeah, we went to the temple, and we went to Bankya Bihari temple. The darshan was closed, and whatever the local kirtan that was going on, they just started following. They didn't know anything, but somehow just being there and chanting the names of Radharani and Krishna, so much transformation took place. Then we went to Barsana and Nandgaon, and of course more powerful transformation. And one of my personal favorite places is Ter Kadam. So I took them there and I just left them there. And in those of you been, there's a little pond there, and just sitting there at Ter Kadam, I just said, you just close your eyes and meditate. And somehow at the same time, as soon as they did that, lots of peacocks started their sound, music. And I told them, you know, Ter Kadam is where Krishna would go into the forest with the cows, and you know, and forest, so naturally, and wherever Krishna is dancing, there peacocks, because we went to Morkuti before that, and where peacocks are, therefore Krishna is there. And somehow, as soon as they started their meditation, suddenly peacocks started making sound. So everything, Vrindadevi perfectly coordinated, orchestrated everything for them, that, you know, they were like, oh no, what is happening here, right? And of course, the most amazing thing that really happened was, we wanted to go on a Govardhan Parikrama. We attempted a Govardhan Parikrama. But so we sat at Radhakund, and they asked some questions, and our class itself ended up being for 4 hours. So there ended our Govardhan Parikrama at Radhakund itself. But something amazing happened in Radhakund. So the agenda for our trip was discussing NOI. So we're sitting there, and entire NOI we covered in those 4 hours. And just in the end, when the glories of Radhakund, we were discussing that, those verses, suddenly out of nowhere, we started experiencing some water on our head. And this is what happened. We turned around, a monkey came out of nowhere, started throwing Radhakund water on all of us. And that's it. They were, what's happening here? So apparently what happened, this monkey jumped into Radhakund water. It was all wet. It came to on the top, sitting behind us on one of the steps. Yeah, and it started moving, and it sprinkled all the Radhakund water in its hand. It actually was throwing, and to the point where it sat from there was a whole stream of Radhakund water falling on us. Right? And then when this happened, they were like, just before that, we were discussing how all the animals are also great devotees. Sometimes the advanced devotees, they come disguised as animals, and they take a dip. Demigods also come to Radhakund and Shyamkund, and they take a dip. And after that, they became so inspired on the way back as walking from between Radhakund to Shyamkund. They said that, you know, Prabhu, actually even before that itself, they started chanting. Yeah, in Krishna Balaram itself, they said they all bought Japmalas and they started chanting. They said they wanted to wear Kanti Mala. Said, okay, fine. They bought one round, two round Kanti Malas. They were wearing that. They said, okay, but you have to wear it in a special place. Let's go to Shyamkund and we'll wear it there. So we were standing at the banks of Shyamkund. I said, you first chant for some time. Be very prayerful. They were sitting and chanting. And they said, okay, now, you know, wear Kanti Mala. You know, so they were praying. And as they were wearing Kanti Mala, again out of nowhere, it started drizzling. This time not from monkeys, from the sky itself. And as they finished wearing Kanti Mala, it stopped drizzling. Right? And that was also like, even in their tradition, drizzle is considered very auspicious. It's like blessings from the sky, you know. So they had such a surreal, such a devotional, spiritual, mystical experience. Right? And after that, we last day, and to the point we're supposed to spend 2 days in Jaipur, but they were so much in love with Vrindavan, we kept postponing. Okay, we'll go. First, we were planning to leave on the 6th night. They said, no, let's go on 7th morning. And then let's go on 7th evening. Finally, we went on 8th morning to Jaipur, and we went straight away to Radha Goenji temple. And in our group, there's this one nice gentleman who has been traveling a lot, and so as soon as he stood before the deity of Radha Govindji, He didn't know what happened to him. Suddenly he started experiencing some kind of ashtasatvika, nothing like that. But he felt as if like he was losing his balance. He felt as if like, you know, his eyes were going blank. He felt like he was fainting. He even felt like I was going to collapse there. He could feel some really strong energy from the deity of Radha Goenji. Right? So, anyway, when we do it, we don't know what happens. Right? But the point is that... what was the point? The point is that, you know, all of these wonderful things happen, but the seed is the experience that they had here in GEV. Right? And this devotee, when he came back, the first thing he said, you know what I miss, what I really love about GEV, what will I miss when I leave GEV, is everybody calling each other as Prabhuji. As soon as he walked in, you know, at the gate itself, somebody said, oh, welcome back Prabhuji and Prabhuji. And you know, that sweetness which is there, that sometimes which we take these things for granted, right? But that, you know, for that whole experience that which together that GEV creates for them, right? That is something that transforms their heart. So, yeah, so their visit to Vrindavan only kind of like reinstated that experience that they got here, to the point that they were in on their way back, many of them kind of like parted their ways. But what they missed the most is in the evening, again at 6:30, they were asking me, can you send me a video of Yamuna Aarti from GEV? Right? So, yeah, so that's the thing. So these are the few thoughts I wanted to share. So basically, in summary, what we discussed today is this wonderful verse that Swayambhu Manu is presenting, that don't let the worldly things, situations and objects and circumstances, don't identify them as a cause of your suffering. Because the ultimate source of everything, the ultimate doer is Krishna. And whatever is happening by the causeless will of Krishna. And if we learn to see that how Krishna interacts with the material energy in such a disengaged way, we will then see that it's only the Krishna's external part, the Kala Rupa, which is doing everything, which is the cause of my misery. But the Shyam Sundar Krishna, he is a cause of my solace. And when one understands this, that is when the real sweetness of Vrindavan Dham will get revealed. So problems are everywhere, but the solution is in Vrindavan, and we are in Vrindavan. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki, jai. Grantha Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki, jai. Hare Krishna. Vrindavan Dham ki, jai. Oh, by the by, off the record. Am I supposed to switch off the mic? So something extraordinary happened which never happened in the history of Taj Mahal.